It is really, 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 really close to 9:30. So, in other words, it's an expanded edition of KCIM Sports Rewind, our weekly group therapy session where we get to hash out our feelings, you know, work out our anxieties and our stresses.
Almost every guy just turned the radio off.
We're trying to bump up our female demographic KCIM Sports Rewind by talking more about feelings and emotions today,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
So how are you today, Jeff? How are you feeling?
Oh,
how's your space doing?
It is doing wonderful. Yes.
I wanted to check with you first because I'm most concerned about Mason.
Me too.
And the serious loss that he took this weekend over there at Kinnick Stadium. Mason, how are you today?
I'm okay. As long as the Bears won and I split 1-1, I'm fine.
Ah, the Bears. Well,
which one matters more?
Chicago.
Okay.
I saw a meme this morning. It was a guy bawling his eyes out, and they said, every Bears fan, after looking at the standings now, because they're in tied for first place, that they're all emotional. Like, oh, the Bears are first place. Anyway. So, yeah, you knew that you had, like I said, you said, way too much time left for Oregon at the end of that game.
Well, like I had said, too, I mean, you give a top 10 team a minute and a half to march, what, 40 yards and get in field goal range or 50 yards, they're going to do it. I knew, and I'm like, Dan Lanning's a good coach. He's going to get his guys out there and get them in field goal range. The ball that Dante Moore threw, I don't know what the receiver's name is that caught the ball, but he threw a beautiful right over the Iowa's corner ball straight to his receiver that got him in field goal range.
And usually Iowa comes up with those plays. That defense in the past has always made that play late in the game. I don't know how many.
Well, they usually
games
had a guy named Cooper DeJean on the field, too.
Yeah. Or they've had some other great corners along with him, but he's been dominant in the NFL even. But it's just, you know, for a non-Iowa fan, it's odd to see Iowa lose a game on a last-second field goal, especially at home, because they've done that to so many other teams where they've won games late by a field goal.
Including the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yes.
You know that feeling all too well.
Way too well. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Where does that leave Iowa?
Well, I'm kind of just pleased because now I know with a one-score loss to Indiana and a one-score loss to Oregon, Iowa can compete with two of the top three or four best teams in the Big Ten. So I'm like, you know, we're not in the college football playoff, which makes me happy because I said I'd rather be the 13th or 14th best team and go play a bowl game than be the 12th best team and get beat up in the first round of the playoff.
I honestly think, though, that they're not completely out of the playoff chase. I really don't. I know they've got USC and then Nebraska left on the schedule. They got to go to USC. I think if they win that game and then knock off Nebraska at home, I won't be shocked to see a three-loss team maybe get in there as that 12 seed, and then the Hawks could certainly be.
There's going to be at least four Big Ten teams in that playoff.
Yeah, and if they can win out, they'll have a chance to be in that number four spot.
We're not trying to ruin your Christmas, Mason, but, you know, there's a chance still.
Yeah.
I think you still have, you know, Christian McCaffrey shock.
Bring that name up. I can just see the opening kick right away of the 2015 or 2016 Rose Bowl where he just takes it right back. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a great day.
See, that's why we call it a therapy session every Tuesday morning. So, the Hawks, I still think they're looking great. I mean,
I do too.
I still think, there's a good shot at them making the playoffs.
Your three losses are to three good teams. I know Iowa State ran into funk for a little while, but it's by a combined 9 points. And I think that will matter to the selection committee and the ranking committee if you can win your last two games and then look good and convincing in those two games. I think that you could end up being that fourth team.
Speaking of Iowa State, they were on the verge of losing that game against TCU until a former ADM standout returns a punt for a big touchdown.
Moore backpedaling, takes it at the 21, angles to the middle, across the 30, 35, 40. Here goes Flora across the 50, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown! Aiden Flora takes it all the way, and the Cyclones take the lead.
Hang on to win. Previously, Aiden Flora's big highlight was he played JV basketball against one Mason Nealon. Yes. That was his previous sports highlight.
Who won that battle?
Not me. I know that. I'm pretty sure.
You told me you got some basketball skills.
Well, our JV team was good, and I was not seeing the floor a bunch. And Aiden Flora is one of those kids that is athletic enough to see the floor a lot.
Okay.
So I kind of watched Aiden Flora play, and then when we were down or up by a lot, I can't remember, I'd go in there, and then that's where I shined.
Okay. Nah. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, in other words, he had five fouls to spare.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, Iowa also has Michigan State, thanks to Tony Jansen for reminding me that the Hawkeyes.
They still got three games left.
They do. And I got to go back to Iowa for just a moment because one of our local guys came up big. Now, you're going to have to help me with this. DJ Vanami, I know, caught a touchdown pass. Was it one late?
No, it was early. It was early in the first, either first half or early in the second half. He went and they marched all the way down the field. And it was one of those, like, kind of out routes where you set a tight end on the outside and you put him off the line and you run a little out route there. He catches it and he was wide open. I mean, he walked it in. And then the one that I think you were talking about there is that it was like a third and long late in the game to give us a chance. DJ like streaked down the field and almost stopped and then waited kind of 20 yards down the field and caught like a 35-yard ball to get us back to like almost midfield to be able to keep us in it.
Yeah, so good for DJ. I was going to send him a text and congratulate him on the performance on Saturday, but after the loss, I just was like, does it? What will it sound like if I say, hey, great game, congratulations? So I didn't reach out to him, but proud of him and what Absolutely. He's been able to accomplish over there with the Hawks. He's had a really nice season for them so far.
First off, I don't know what they're feeding the kid. When I saw him in high school, he was a little skinnier kid, but he's beefed up to look like a tight end in the college level now.
It's got to be something
he's
with college.
D1, tight end material.
Yeah, because Blaze Gunnarsson was a big kid, big strong kid in high school, and he became a monster.
Eating.
Yeah, he became a monster when he got over to Nebraska. So there's just something about the weight room and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, always can't forget Ty Nissen doing a good job for Iowa as well. You know, holding and everything else for them over there. And then Caden Cooks had a nice year at Iowa State as well. So congrats to them. And we don't want to forget Tyler Miller either. Starts on the offensive line for the Cyclones, a former Peyton Chernan kid that we covered. So he's been, a four-year starter over there now. So
yeah, bye week for the Iowa State Cyclones, but Iowa traveling out west to USC. Once again, about 2:30 kickoff time for that one. So that should be an interesting one as Nebraska just beat USC the other day. UCLA, that's right. They lost to USC.
Yeah, up 14-6 when Dylan Raiola goes out with a broken fibula in the fourth quarter and or late third quarter and ended up, you know, losing that game. I don't know if we win it if he doesn't get injured, but yeah, lost to USC. That would have been a nice one to have, but good win for them on Saturday with a freshman quarterback.
Matt Rhule signing an extension.
Happy.
Taking his name out of there. I don't know if there was a lot of shine on Matt Rhule after that USC loss and things, but because there was talk about him possibly at Penn State, one of the other positions, but Nebraska locking him up.
Yeah.
Instead of paying him to leave, they're going to pay him to stay.
Yeah, and glad to hear. I like what he's done with the program so far. You know, we're much better than what we were prior to him getting there. I'm not saying that we're great or anything like that yet. It's still a process, but we're first time we've been 7-3 in quite some time. So nice to be improving as a program.
Absolutely. So that is kind of the college scene that's going on right now. Let's talk Kemper volleyball at the state volleyball tournament. Took on Red Oak last week in the opening round. That was a great one.
Yeah, huge win for them. I think they went into that one with a lot of confidence. I know they had lost to Red Oak in five earlier in the regular season, and they played without Brianna Wittrock in that one. So I think they, with Brianna back, they went into that one with you know, feeling like this was a team, hey, we know them. We can pick up that win for those seniors. It was their first win at the state tournament. They'd been there four straight years. And to be able to get that win, I think it took a lot of weight off of their shoulders. And, you know, Kaylee Simon said in the post game that, you know, they wanted to show everybody that they were a top four team in the state this year. And they did that by getting that win and advancing into the semifinals. But what a crazy match it was. Back and forth, tight. Kind of felt like they were in trouble. Then you felt like they were in really good shape and, you know, just went out and played good volleyball and stuff. Addie Antover was huge. She was named to the all-tournament team for two fantastic games. Elsa Tiefenthaler, especially late, she was really good. She was our Culver's player of the game, that Red Oak game. But she came up with some pushes and tips and stuff, finding the corners and finding the 10-foot line a lot late that I think carried them to that win over Red Oak in that fifth set. She was huge. I think Brianna Wittruck maybe played her best volleyball of the season, especially since returning down there at the state tournament. Kaylee Simons had a really nice tournament run. She was actually voted as one of the top 15 players down at the state tournament, and that was all class sizes. So that was really kind of cool to see. And it tells you the depth of Kemper that Addie Antover makes the all-tournament team for Class 3A, and then Kaylee ends up making the top 15 list for players throughout the entire tournament. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience down there, and I just want to say, for what Addie Antover does and sacrifices for her body for the Knights, I mean, that's a great player to have down there. I mean, I saw the video on social media of the Unity Christian game.
Yep.
I saw that video from a different angle, and that was crazy, and then about did it again at the state tournament. I'm sitting right by the up official, and I watch, and Addie goes sprinting towards me, and I'm like, if there's one girl I know is not going to stop because I'm sitting here, it's Addie Antover. So I slid out of the way, and the guy next to me almost caught her while she was, like, flying in. And so I'm like, yeah, now I know that if Addie's sprinting towards a certain area, move, because she's not stopping.
Yeah, no, she about, you know, injured herself three or four times in that win over Unity Christian to get to state. And then down there at the state tournament, there was one time she slid in and hit her head again, sliding across the court, trying to make an effort for a ball that was going out of bounds. And you could hear the thud. It was not too far away from where we were broadcasting. And even with our noise canceling headphones, you could hear the thud. And she gets up smiling, and you looked out, you had a great shot of Elsa Tiefenthaler, who was just kind of cracking up out on the floor.
Yeah. I'm shooting the floor, and Elsa's standing there watching Addie, because she's like, well, this ball's basically unplayable. And Elsa kind of like winces and is like, oh, you just drilled your head on the side of that table. And then she gets up smiling, and Elsa starts smiling like, yeah, that kind of explains how this season's gone.
Yeah. So, and then a tough loss. They played Assumption actually better in the semis than what Humboldt did in the championship game. So, you know, Assumption went on to sweep. So Kemper taking a set from Assumption kind of really showed you how good that team was. The interesting
thing
was,
what was the difference between the first set and second, third, and fourth?
For me, it was Assumption getting the ball a little higher to their they had some really tall girls that they out-heighted Kemper across the front. And I thought those girls, the sets weren't high enough early, and they were hitting kind of behind the ball. They had a lot of hitting errors. They were hitting them long or hitting them into the net. I think they adjusted their sets a little bit, got them a little higher so they could go up over the block, as the Kemper block gave them some problems in set one. And then the other thing is, Kemper's done such a great job serving, and not that they still didn't serve well after set one, but Assumption adjusted their libero to be able to take almost all of the serves. So instead of being maybe out of system a little bit, they got into system, and that allowed their setter to be able to set those better balls. So I think they did a better job in serve receive in sets 2, 3, and 4, and that allowed their size at the net to be able to use their size to their advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as perfect as you can say it. I thought that Assumption had better height. And, you know, I had said this, and I know me and Elsa kind of joked about it, and I'm like, when the legs get tired, the extra 2 or 3 inches on the arms and all that kind of helps, because you get over a couple blocks and you can have that extra height advantage there. And I thought, you know, they did great early. Kemper did on the defensive end. It just felt like, you know, when the legs got tired, they had just that extra height to be able to get over the blocks that Kemper had.
You know, and when Kemper got up 1-0, it flashed into my brain, because I'm watching, you know, I can see the scoreboard for the other court, and it's Humboldt, you know, battling over there against Western Christian, who was everybody's favorite to win 3A. They were going into it number one and had been really dominant.
How shocked were everybody when they saw that?
I think a lot shocked. But for Kemper, you had to be sitting here going, if we can hold on and win ours, our two losses this year in the regular season were Red Oak and Humboldt. They would have had a chance to avenge their only loss in that championship match, their other loss, I should say, in that championship match. But Assumption just kind of, I think they showed they were probably the best team in 3A, maybe all season. So
Talk about the seniors that are going out for Kemper and what they have coming back next year. Is this program just going to reload?
Yeah, they always do. Not that this senior class isn't going to be missed. You know, Brianna Wittrock has been a heck of a four-year starter for them. Kaylee Simons, I think, is an elite libero. Just have really enjoyed watching her play over the years. You throw Elsa Tiefenthaler. I think where they're going to miss the most with Elsa, and Mason, you can comment on this, her competitiveness. You know, we talk about Addie diving into tables and chairs and stands and everything else. Elsa is about as competitive a player as I've ever covered.
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about it on the way home, and I'm like, you know, you got girls that are going to fill it when it comes to the talent, but see, the one thing you can't replace is just the fire that they have for the game. And it's like they go out there, and I know Elsa and Kaylee go out there and they play like every game's their last. They want to win every set. They want to win every game. And you just can't teach that. That's hard to find in this kind of age group, is just to be able to see that somebody goes out there and they feel like they have to beat you both physically and mentally every time they step on the court.
Yeah, she's one that gets angry if they lose, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff, because it bothers her. She hates to lose. And then Olivia Schenkelberg maybe didn't get a ton of time as the season went on, but got some time down there at the state tournament. She's been vital for them in the middle, a great blocker and everything. So they're going to lose four outstanding seniors. But, you know, you got Colby Peter, Mariah Hewton, Zoe Bruning, Addie Ann Tover, Mia Milligan, just off the top of my head. Then you throw in Sophie Lorman and Millie Ann Tover that started early in the year for them. Riley Sommerfeld came in the back row this year and got some time. Morgan Madshin got some time. You've got a lot of really good players to be able to build around. And then from what I understand, that freshman class was kind of loaded this year. So Alexis Nanner will help them out next year. Maybe she jumps in and takes her cousin Kaylee Simon spot at that libero if Mia Milligan doesn't. If she doesn't, she'll be probably a DS that sees quite a bit of time. So I think they're loaded again next year. It'll be the leadership that this senior group, I think, gave them that they're going to have to replace, and they're going to have to find some kids, and I think they will, that'll step in and take those spots.
Talk about any other teams out there that you're looking at for next season are like, yeah, look, they're going to be solid.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm asking you to project ahead a year.
Yeah, you are. God, with the transfer portal. No, I'm kidding.
With the NIL, the transfer portal.
Yeah. So, I think Arweva will be improved. I think East Sac County will be solid again. I think I could see South Central Calhoun hardly losing anybody off of this year's team, taking a step forward. With ICAM Manning, they're going to lose a really good senior class, but I think they've got the potential with what they've got coming back to be really, really good. When you got a Taryn Peterson down at Exira, you're going to be really competitive. Mason, any other teams that you can think of? Carroll High probably going to be improved next year as well.
The one team I think is kind of a dark horse for improvement is Peyton Trudan. And I fully believe that because when I walked in and looked at Peyton Trudan volleyball the first time I ever covered it, I looked at them like, this is a team that's not traditionally super strong. And then they go out this year and they win four games. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, they're improving. And then I think, you know, you bring back almost everything. And you lose maybe one girl for Peyton Trudan. I think you can bump that to five or six or maybe get up to seven. And I think that those girls are just really eager to win.
Yep.
I think that they want to go out there and they just want to compete well.
I think Nikki Ubel, first-year head coach over there, really did a tremendous job. And I say that, I think I talked about it after they got beat by Newell Fonda in the first round of the postseason this year. But they were really competitive in that match, and that tells you the growth that they made from the beginning of the year. As you mentioned, they'll lose Mia Russell, but you get Kalia Manahan will be back after, you know, being out most of this year with an injury. You get another off season with Coach Ubel to continue to work on the fundamentals. So Peyton Trudan could, very much be a very improved ball club next year. They could fight to maybe be even up around that 500 mark and middle of the pack in the Rolling Valley Conference.
CRB had a solid year.
They did. I'm sure they're going to be good because Natalie does a tremendous job down there. The only thing is it's all seniors. Mm-hmm. It's all seniors that have really seen the floor for the most part, besides Amelia Cook, who is a sophomore. But for the most part, it's been all seniors down there. So it's not knowing what the junior high and the JV did this year, it's going to be interesting to see because they're going to have to definitely reload.
There's roles to be had down
there. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and then the other team I think that we didn't mention, Audubon, I mean, with Molly having her second season down there, she's going to have the off season to be able to work with these girls. And I think that, you know, they've got some pieces to work with, and I think that they'll be able to maybe contend because they're jumping over to the Rolling Valley. So they'll be another one of the 70% that we cover in the Rolling Valley. So I think that they'll have a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, with Molly Lang as your coach, you can never count that team out from being awfully competitive. But yeah, we joke that, you know, 7 of the 10 teams now in the Rolling Valley next year will be schools that we actually cover. So we joke sometimes, we're not going to do it, but we joke that, you know, we should probably just pick up Woodbine and Cam and, you know, and just cover the entire Rolling Valley. But
greed. Greed right there.
I don't want to drive an hour and a half for a local game, so for a local team. So, but so we'll stay with the 11 that we're already covering. But yeah, we feel like we're going to be covering pretty much the entire Rolling Valley Conference starting next year.
Well, no doubt about that. So, when does girls' basketball practices start?
Today, yesterday. Boys will start a week from yesterday. So we'll be doing our coaches' preview shows coming up here very, very soon. In fact, I'm already scheduling
some. We just picked out the dates for it yesterday.
Yes, and I've had three coaches already schedule with me for late this week or early next week to get those interviews in, because I think what we're doing, the girls show, John, you're going to have to help me here.
I believe the 20th is the first one.
And then the 21st,
22nd, and the 24th. And
the 25th, I think.
The 25th, you're right.
So the boys will be the 21st and the 25th. And then the girls will be on the 20th and the 22nd. So the 20th will be at 6:30 in the evening. The 22nd was going to be at 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe earlier, depending on Iowa State football. And then for the boys preview show, it'll be the 21st at 6:30 p.m. And then the 25th we were doing
at 6:30 p.m.
At 6:30 p.m. So both of them will be in the evenings for that. And then, of course, we haven't forgot about wrestling and bowling. Those will be podcasted to our podcast center right after they're done. So we'll preview the upcoming wrestling and bowling seasons as well as Deb Danner, of course, with the boys swim team.
I was going to say, it doesn't stop anymore. One season is already starting before the other one has even come to an end. And the one season we still have is going to pick up again tomorrow. Football playoffs, we're going to talk about that next on KCIM Sports Rewind.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
This is KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you exclusively by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services. And you play football at 10 a.m. in the morning? That time kind of blew me away. I'm like, it's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday. What are we doing playing football at that time?
And the only thing I can think, because there's only two games that day. It's 10 o'clock for the Audubon game against Bishop Garrigan, and then 1 o'clock with Woodbine and Gladbrook Rhinebeck. It's like you and I must want to be able to use the Dome on Wednesday afternoon for practice or Wednesday evening. That's the only thing I can think
of. Or maybe they got a basketball game going on at the same time there in the McLeod Center. And,
They need the parking. It just seems kind of weird at 10 o'clock. I can get it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because you're cramming four games into the Dome.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be – I asked Sean Burks. I talked to him this morning. I'm like, do you guys have to change anything up to be ready? And he's like, no, we're just going to do our normal – routine. He goes, the one thing I'm concerned about, he said, is that the guy's getting hungry around noon. So he says, we're going to try and feed him in the locker room, like applesauce and oranges, some stuff that'll provide some quick carbs, but not create any problems during the games.
Yeah, I never thought about that. It's always been hydration, because you go from playing outside to playing inside. Yep. It's going to get hot for those players.
It is. Yeah, especially considering last Thursday when they played over at Iowa Valley and what a win they had. It wasn't terribly chilly. Nick and Randy Spies kept mentioning that it was, 50 degrees, at game time and everything, which is pretty nice for, the middle to early part of November outside. But yeah, it'll be probably a 70 degrees, 75 degrees inside.
20 degrees warmer is going to feel like about 90 degrees warmer, I think, for those guys. So, but that closest game they have played this year by a long shot, Mason, against Iowa Valley.
Oh, yeah, I know. Both me and Jeff were sitting there listening since we didn't go to the game. We were sitting there and we're like, this is anticipating a good game, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, okay, it's 26-6. This is going to be Audubon doing Audubon things, and then Nolan Kriegel goes out and scores two touchdowns, and I'm like, okay, now it's 26-19. And then Hayden Larson having the play of the year, not on offense or defense, probably the special teams play of the year with the punt. I mean, listening to it, I wish I could have seen it, because listening to it, I don't think does justice to exactly what he actually did of like doing that punt.
Yeah, so a punt, the snap goes over his head from midfield. He runs back, picks it up at the 20, eludes a couple of guys, somehow gets the punt off, and pins Iowa Valley back at their own 20-yard line. You think about it, just over 2 minutes left in the game. If Iowa Valley takes over at the Audubon 20, or they block that thing and they get it inside the 20, they probably score a touchdown, go for two, have all the momentum because they'll have scored the last three touchdowns in the game. They may end up winning that game 27-26 or kick the extra point and send it to overtime. And Audubon might have been on their heels a little bit, but he gets that punt off, pins them. They have to drive the length of the field. They get down to the Audubon 10. A penalty pushes them back to the 15, and then they get a sack on the final play of the game to end it. You know, that punt and his ability to go back and pick that up and get the punt off was really maybe the difference in that game.
What was Sean Burke's reaction after the game about that?
I'm pretty happy. I know Nick.
Clearly happy, but yes. Boy, he's you know, this is why you, when you're a head coach, you're always got your Tums handy or your Pepto-Bismol because of plays like that.
Yeah, I talked to him about that today as well, and he was just very appreciative of the effort of Hayden and how the guys stayed kind of calm. Everybody kept blocking, you know, and everybody kind of did their role, you know, to try and make that play get off as successful as it could, even after the snap put him in some jeopardy. Yeah. So
that's why you're a semifinalist because you have that calmness, just go out, make the play. And that to me, Mason, a sign of great coaching.
Yeah. And the one thing I love is I go to the Kemper game. I'm standing there like on the sidelines, like at the end of the game where I was sitting in the stands early in the game, and everyone's like, oh, how'd Audubon do? I heard they were going. And all I said was, final play of the game, it's 4th and 10 from the 15, 2 seconds left, 7-point game. Oh, that's all you need to hear. I'm like, it was a 7-point game from the 15, and Iowa Valley had a chance to tie it. But, I mean, Hayden Larson, probably the two biggest plays to be able to save that game right there. Because I felt like, you know, like you had said, if Iowa Valley goes down and gets the momentum, I think it swings in their favor on their field, score three in a row, and you take it to overtime. It's pretty hard to be able to get that momentum back and win a game.
And I think they would have went for two. I do. If they'd have scored there late in the game, I think they'd have went for two to try and end that, because they'd have scored the last three touchdowns of regulation. I think they'd have went for two with all the momentum to try and end it, not give Audubon another opportunity and stuff. So what a win for them.
Bishop Garrigan up next.
Yeah, and that's going to be, if you like, you know, old school, or even today, it's not quite the same today, but old school Big Ten football, old school Big Eight football, where it's just big physical offensive and defensive linemen pounding on each other. That's the game you got to tune in for. This is by far the most biggest and physical team that Audubon's going to have faced all year. And it's vice versa for Bishop Garrigan. They haven't seen a team as big or physical as what Audubon is. Both teams want to run the ball. They want to pound you. And then they want to get you kind of sneaking up to try and stop the run. And then they want to beat you over the top with the pass.
Yeah, I guarantee you're going to hear a lot of popping.
Yeah.
There are a lot of pads, a lot of helmets, a lot of that stuff right there. And the good thing is that it's not going to be cold out, so it's not going to hurt as bad. But I'll tell you, when I saw a tweet about how the Unidome is going to be this week, I think they were talking just perfect conditions and 72. And I'm like, you walk in there and it's going to feel like 105. Because it's going to be cold outside.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting trying to walk in with all the clothes on tomorrow and then try to get all the layers off. But, should be a really fun game. And then we can't forget Kemper plays Saturday afternoon at 1.
They played OABCIG.
Cherokee,
that was OABCIG was the week before. But so familiar opponents all the way around for Kemper. Now they got to play somebody they haven't played. But go back and start with that Cherokee game.
Defense struggled, gave up a lot of run yards to the Polesrud kid from Cherokee. He was just hard to handle. So was the Lavelle kid as their running back. I thought both teams' offensive lines won the line of scrimmage. So both teams' offenses were able to run the football really well. So it was kind of impressive what both teams did on the ground. Jared Hoffman had an outstanding game. I thought the Kemper receivers played really well, as did Brock Baiting, which was probably the difference, as Kemper was able to throw the ball a little bit more. But they're going to have to shore things up a little bit, probably defensively, going against Wilton on Saturday afternoon. But a good win for them. I know you were there, and you were down kind of on the edge of the field there as that game ended, and got a nice video of the Kemper boys running onto the field to celebrate that win.
Yeah, the Paul Shirt kid, I mean, you got to give him credit where credit's due. He single-handedly, him and the Lavelle kid in the back or the backfield, I mean, those two, hard to tackle. I felt bad for Dylan Schoen on the 1-2 point. He ran on the outside on a sweep, and Dylan put his body into the kid, and Dylan's the one that was laying on the ground almost in pieces after trying to tackle a Lavelle kid. He's, what, 6 foot, maybe 5'11", and weighs probably 230, 240.
He was about 225 or something like that, so a big, solid kid, and he ran hard.
He's a big kid.
Yeah, but, you know, and Kemper got a little dinged up. Jaron Hoffman's not 100%. Dylan got banged up. Braxton Vanami got a little bit banged up. So hopefully with that extra day to kind of get healed up, they'll be good to go. I will be honest, I haven't started looking at Wilton yet, so if you ask me about them, I don't know a whole lot. I know they're pretty big up front, so they're going to match the size-wise of Kemper up front.
Well, I'll give you 20 seconds to go look that up while I ask Mason about that video you took of the incredible catch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's – were you talking about the one with Braxton or which one? Oh, I'm sitting there, so – I'll describe what I was sitting there. I'm sitting there with some family, and I'm just chatting, and I'm like, yeah, I watched this ball get thrown. There's two guys, and one of them's, I think it was the Paulsrud kid, came over to try to get it. And I go, okay, that one's probably picked off because it's underthrown. And Braxton goes up over top of the kid like this and just snatches it out of his hands. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, that's impressive for a high school kid.
So, no kidding. That was an impressive video that you guys posted on the City Sports Network.
Yeah, I'm glad that Mason's able to go and put out those little quick video clips and stuff as games are going on. It's really fun for our Instagram followers. I do have Wilton pulled up. I know they ended up 9-2.
See, I gave you plenty of time to
you
prep.
You did, and I had kind of looked at them ahead, but I've been so focused on getting ready for the game tomorrow that I'll work Thursday and Friday on the Wilton. They've got a good quarterback in the Edwards kid. He throws it really well and stuff. He's got 16 touchdowns on the year, but has thrown 12 interceptions. Their defense has gotten a lot of interceptions on the year as well. They're very capable of running the football. They've got about three or four receivers that have made probably, you know, 15 to 30 some catches, so they're fairly balanced in the pass game, similar to Carroll, our similar to Kemper. The interesting thing, and I need to reach out to some people I know that cover sports over in that area of the state, they were down 17-0 to Prairie City Monroe at halftime, and that quarterfinal round game came back to win at 21-17. So what I'm really kind of intrigued to find out is what did they do different defensively to hold down a good Prairie City Monroe club, and then how did they get their offense going and what kind of started to click. So that'll probably be a big part of my prep coming up Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, when you see that big of a turnaround in a game, you're like, okay, where was the adjustment made and what happened? And you know it's going to be a good team. Semifinal round, it's happening. That's going to be Saturday, 12:20 is the pregame. College football start time, 1 o'clock on Saturday. Yes. So we got a 10 a.m. start time and a 1 o'clock Saturday start time for our teams. But who cares? It's right. The Dome.
It is. It's the Dome, and we get to call games in warm weather. So before I forget, got two other things I want to throw in. John, I know we're already a little over time.
What's new?
Yes, we've got want to congratulate the Carroll Girls Swim Team. They held their state qualifying meet last Saturday over in Ames. They qualified all three of their relays to the state meet. They'll be down in Iowa City over in Coralville coming up this coming Saturday with a football game. Not going to be able to get down there to cover them, so I wish Deb Danner and all of the girls that qualified the best of luck, and they've had a really good year with the young team. And then, of course, our All-Star festivities coming up this Sunday at Carroll High. Doors will open at 1:30. Event will get underway at 2. I think we've got 25 girls that have signed up to play in our volleyball all-star game, so that should be a lot of fun. We're going to have probably about 40 kids in the dodgeball tournament between football, cross country, swimming, and tennis, the girls' tennis and stuff. And then we'll have our throwing competition. We get the girls and boys involved in that, and that always turns into a lot of fun. Everybody kind of jokes around and stuff with that. And then we'll announce our all rewind teams coming up during the event on Sunday. But again, free and open to the public, and everybody can come out and enjoy a fun afternoon with the event getting underway at 2.
Man, Audubon semifinal Wednesday, Kemper semifinal on Saturday, All-Star Rewind festivities on Sunday. It's going to be a jam-packed week. And state swimming, when is that? Is that
That's
Saturday?
That's Saturday, yeah. They're going to be swimming while I'm up at the Dome. So,
It's going to be a lot of action to catch up on. Make sure you download that sports mobile app. CB Sports Network in your app store. You can stay on top of all of it with Jeff and Mason. That is KCIM Sports Rewind.